Northwest Christian School Online provides online Christian education for any students, ranging from kindergarten to 10th grade. The tuition is fully covered through the state of Arizona's ESA program and is affordable for families out of state. You can count on NCS Online for a rigorous, proven online program that establishes a robust biblical worldview for all students. For more information, go to ncsonline.org. That's ncsonline.org.
People aren't to make images of God because God has already made images of himself, so that we become people in whom God's image is being restored.
Well, G,
yes, sir.
This is it, dude. This is the end of the red letter challenge.
Man.
We have reached the penultimate moment where we're in Matthew 28.
Yes.
We have read through Mark.
Yes.
We've read through Luke. We read through John. And now we're in Matthew.
Yeah. Now it's time to give the black letters some cred, you know, read some of the letters, some OT, you know, get some.
But one chapter per day.
Yeah.
Over the course of 3 months, we've invited students, faculty, families to join us in this Bible reading plan through the Gospels, encountering Jesus in a fresh and very real way. It's been special.
I'm blown away by obviously we do dangle some carrots with the Gecko Rock Gym and the car, the Jeep tour and all that, which is super, super great. But to hear, you know, there was a letter on your desk from a student I saw last week said, I kind of just did it for the prizes, but now I really like reading God's word.
Yeah.
And it's really, I mean.
The same letter also said, in the spirit of full disclosure,
yes,
said, Bible used to be my favorite subject, now it's math.
Yes.
So I thought, wait a minute.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I enjoyed that. But hearing kids and seeing them get excited about reading God's word is just beautiful. I mean, it's like, cause I know you we've talked on this podcast about your intro into that and watching your dad and just, man, there's legacy. Yeah. You know, you never know if a kid I like to think that way. I like to think that there's a third grader out there that his life will be changed forever.
Yeah.
And his kids and his grandkids and just, it's a beautiful thing from reading a supernatural book that, was written over a course of 1500 years by 40 different authors on 3 different continents and 3 different languages. And it's unlike any other. So this has been always a fun time on the Red Letter Challenge, Mr. Brown.
Well, in a special episode today, because we have, not only do we have Matthew 28 to go through, we're
going
to talk about
chapter.
The resurrection and in the Great Commission, but we are joined by Debbie Yee.
Yeah.
Debbie, welcome to Kingdom Culture Conversations.
Thank you.
Mrs. Yee and I share an office. We are we get to share our highs and lows of what we do. We get to vent with each other, and we get to share some cool things that happen with each other as well. I've been so fun having you in the office, Mrs. Yee.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect when I first walked in that office.
Yeah, yeah.
When I got
and
hired
you got
last year.
You got the mess of Mr. G and all of his stuff around everywhere. But
well, Debbie, explain your position is. I mean, if there were ever a position around which there would be cause to vent, I have to imagine it would be yours because you effectively, very few times, I should say, do you come into school and have the opportunity to know what you're doing on that
That's
day.
That's correct, yes.
That's got to be maddening.
Yes. I think I've grown into the position to be okay with wherever someone tells me to go, that's
well,
where
explain,
I go.
Well, explain
your
position?
Job.
Yeah.
So I sub anywhere on a given day, kindergarten through 12th grade, and then...
You're a full-time sub.
Yes, full-time sub. Yeah. And then in between, if I'm not subbing, I write grants for our school, and then I organize and coordinate our after-school program for elementary and middle school.
Yeah.
And the Math Olympics as well.
And the Math Olympics, yeah. So I do other side jobs like the ACSI Math Olympics. I help out with the speech meet, the spelling bee. And I'll be helping take over.
Now, were you – before we put this position together and took all these disparate parts and made this amalgam of a job, did you – had you had any grant writing experience?
No.
That's amazing.
And that's what I told Mrs. Underwood when I interviewed. I said, I don't know if I've ever written a grant before in my life, maybe one during my school career. But I said, I'm willing to learn and to work hard on those things.
And you've been incredibly successful.
Yes. I mean, by the grace of God, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Well, credit, yeah, absolutely the grace of God. But it's your hard work, too. His work through your work is where this has come together. But you want to kind of talk, maybe mention, toot your own horn just a little bit. So families understand, we've seen some pretty big dollars come in through grants. Can you talk about a couple of your favorites?
Yeah, so the security grant we got last year through the state was $75,000.
Outstanding.
And I think maybe your favorite was the T.W. Lewis Foundation.
Yeah.
We got, I just was going through the grant portal and found that organization, just wrote grants like I usually do. And they called last year, right before we were doing packing our Thanksgiving boxes.
For saying, the J.B. Sutton campaign.
Yeah, saying that they would donate $10,000 to the Sutton program. And then.
Well,
and
then not only that, Tom Lewis, the man,
TW
himself, said, hey, I got to check this out. And so he came to campus and he wanted to hear about the Sutton Project. He wanted to hear about all these different things. The whole missions learning concept really excited him.
Yeah.
And at the time, he had been donating millions to a unnamed secular university located somewhere in the proximity of Tempe, Arizona, which shall remain anonymous, but they had protested his involvement in some conservative causes, and so T.W. withdrew his funding from that institution and said, you know what, I'm going to come alongside these Christian schools here in Phoenix. And so he has been just a stalwart of support for not Northwest Christian alone, sorts of Christian schools across the state. It's been cool. And, you know, Debbie, you were a significant catalyst in that whole process.
Yeah, God definitely let me be used by him for those opportunities. So
I'm
grateful.
Well, Mrs. Yee, it's been so fun, again, being in the office with you. And I your husband has been in this podcast booth, Pastor Stephen Yee.
He was first before me.
You maybe talk a little about your family? I know you have some awesome kids and four pretty great kids that I love a lot.
So I have our oldest is Braden. He's a sophomore. He's been here. All of my kids have been here since preschool. And then we have Caleb, who's in seventh grade, Hannah, who's in fifth grade, and then Lydia, who's in kindergarten. So we have the run of the gamut there in kids in all grade levels.
Braden is a sophomore.
Yes.
Yeah. I am an old man.
Yeah. He's been going to our Mexico trip with us to Kids Kingdom.
And he enjoys those a lot.
And Lydia, of course, joined your family through adoption.
Yes. Yeah, from Taiwan when she was 2.5, right before COVID, January 2020. We all went over there to go get her and spend time in the country that she's from. And yeah, she's been a blessing to all of us. She definitely has her personality of her own, really. Yeah. Just a lot of energy. I mean, Mrs. Brown, she had her last year in her preschool class. So she, I'm sure, I know you told me stories that she's told you. Yeah. So
this is a little sidebar. Did you hear, I was on World and Everything We Know It, some statistics about China and adoptions. Like after 2020, there's been like zero.
Mm-hmm. China closed all their adoptions.
Did Taiwan as well?
Taiwan closed down for a little bit during COVID, and then they started allowing people. I want to say 9 months after COVID started, they started having families go there, so they had a quarantine up to 4 weeks in one room. So if you went husband and wife there, the husband had to be in one room, the wife had to be in another room to quarantine for up to 4 weeks before they even got out of their hotel room. So all their meals were delivered to them, and then they could get out. They had to have 1 week of like just health, so they were able to go out. And then the fifth week, I think, around there, they could actually meet their child.
Wow. We'd do anything for our kids, and adopted or not, but just pretty thankful for that timing.
I know. Praise God,
because
if it was after COVID, we would have never taken our kids there because it would have just been too much for anyone to be in a room for that long by them, you know.
Well, can you, Debbie, talk a little bit? I know your husband is a pastor, but the church where your family serves is amazing. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about the church in the work that your husband does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we are at Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. It's just right down the street on 43rd and Greenway. We started in 1985. We were a church plant from another church called First Chinese Baptist Church that still meets off of like Thomas and 40th Street, I think. But we've been he's been a youth pastor there, then associate pastor, and now he's the English pastor. We also have a Chinese-speaking pastor there as well, and we've really been reaching out to the Taiwanese families that have come over here specifically for the Taiwanese semiconductor plant that's over there off the 303, kind of around the, I want to say the
Carefree Highway.
Yeah, Carefree Highway.
I-17, that area.
Yeah, and so we have been, we had some inside families who knew families were coming over, so we had connections there before they even started flying thousands of families to relocate here in Arizona. So we didn't have to go to them. They came to us. And so we started just praying and asking God, what do you want us to do with these families and how do you want us to reach these families? And so we've done a multitude of programs to get them in, to just bring them to Jesus. And so we started with one of the programs we have was an ESL program. My friend, for years, she's very quiet, but she's like, okay, I'll take on like an ESL class of like six or seven women, the wives of the workers. And that turned into 150 people now that we have ESL coming to ESL classes on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. We also have our youth also serve as tutors to some of those, the children of those families. So on Saturdays, our youth, while some of the parents are getting ESL classes, those kids are brought to get tutoring from our youth to help with the subjects. Because can you imagine going to a different country and learning a different language and then also being in school and trying to learn the subjects at the same time? And so it's a tremendous challenge for a lot of those families to come to a foreign country not knowing. It's kind of like Spanish. They learn English like we learn Spanish here. So just like going to Mexico and going to school there and learning history and math and all those things.
Well, and that kind of, in a way, segues into our passage that we're looking at today. We're in Matthew chapter 28, and this is such a, you know, it's funny. I would say it's such a rich chapter as though one chapter is richer
than another.
I've
said that before, Mr. Brown.
Yeah. But you're obliged to say something, so I say that.
Really, this is
such
one of my favorites.
Rich chapter.
This is one of my favorites.
But you look at the beginning of Matthew 28, and we see, you know, the sentence starts this way: after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And we then have the account of the resurrection. And I love the fact that as we look at this, a couple of things. Number one, the fact that the gospel calls out that the first witnesses, the first people on the spot were women.
Yeah.
And these are, you know, this is effectively testimony. And in court, the testimony of a woman at this time was not credible. It was not legitimate. And so for the Gospels to indicate, well, it was women that were first there, if they were making this up, if this was an invented story, Matthew would have said, well, it was this man and this man that saw it first. But it kind of speaks to the credibility of the account that, no, it was these two women. And then the angel actually commissions these women. They're the first ones to carry the good news to the disciples. And so in a form, they're the first evangelists. They're the first missionaries.
So beautiful.
And that is so powerful. But then we get into the Great Commission. And Debbie, I'm going to read this passage, but before the episode, we reflected a little bit about the impact of these verses on your family, and I'd love to hear you just kind of account for that. But we're in Matthew 28, starting in verse 16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.' and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Mm. And again, we have this candid admission. This is just the transparency of the Gospels. You know, in verse 17, it says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Mm. And I love that. That's just mm-hmm. transparent.
Yeah.
You know, it speaks honest to the credibility of the account. But Debbie, you want to talk a little bit about the impact of this passage in your own family history. Pretty yeah. cool.
Yeah. So my grandparents didn't know Jesus until they were told by their own kids, which were my mom and dad. But we had back in the 50s, we had a couple, a Caucasian couple come from Texas, and they felt called to minister to the Chinese community in Arizona, which is yeah, you wouldn't think, okay, coming from Texas, let's go to Arizona yeah. and let's go find the Chinese community in Arizona, right? Mm-hmm. But they came faithfully. They actually went to the grocery stores. A lot of the Chinese immigrants, they started grocery stores back in the 50s. My father-in-law, his family owned a grocery store. My mom's parents, they owned a grocery store. So a lot of grocery store histories with the Chinese community. And so what this couple did was they actually went to the grocery stores and they picked up in the van, kind of like we what our church does when we go to the Native American reservations. But they went in vans and they just went to the grocery stores and picked up their children, which you would never do, right? You would never just give up your children
yeah.
in a van with strangers.
Yeah. Yeah. Put them in the van.
It's like the opposite of what we tell people to do.
Yes, nowadays, right? And my mom recounts, because she was a very, as she said, a very shy child, which she is not anymore, obviously. But she said she would hide under the bed by all her other siblings. She had seven other siblings. So she would hide under the bed because she didn't want to go. She was really shy. but eventually she did go and were discipled by these families.
Wow.
And their names were, I just know them as Brother and Mrs. Stanley. And they made such an impact on my family's life. My mom grew up there, and they discipled the children there. And my parents have known them. I even knew them growing up as well. And I actually named my second son Caleb. His middle name is Stanley after the Stanleys that brought my parents to the Lord.
Is that right?
Yes,
that's great.
That's so
amazing.
Cool. So yeah. Now, Chinese immigrants at this time, there were still some holdovers mm-hmm. from World War II.
Yeah.
In terms of exclusionary laws, can you talk a little bit about that and the impact that had on your family?
Yeah. So I'm not a history person, but what I've been told is that that Chinese people couldn't own homes, and so a lot of them lived in the back of their grocery store as wow. as their home and place. And so they had to overcome
a lot.
So
still very much these folks were being treated like second-class mm-hmm. citizens.
Yeah.
But this couple from Texas had the wherewithal and the faithfulness to come west, to come yeah. to Arizona and minister specifically to Chinese immigrants. And now, all these years later, just think of their legacy.
Yes.
And the impact. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It really is just to think about. And I always share that with, like, the Sunday, my children that I teach in Sunday school, just that one life is still impacting, even though they're no longer here on this earth, that they're still impacting hundreds and thousands of people, because that's why I know the Lord. That's why you know the Lord. That's mm-hmm. why my kids and hopefully my grandkids and the generations to come know the Lord, is because a couple was faithful to come and share the gospel to our family.
Love it.
Yeah.
And now, like, I think about the Stanleys and what a act of obedience. Was there a large Chinese community here? Do you know? Or
I mean, I want to say there were probably hundreds. Yeah. Hundreds of people. I was just telling Mr. G, like, at my father-in-law's funeral that we had this weekend, there were 600 people.
Wow.
That came to the funeral, and many that I didn't even personally know. But the Chinese community, that's just how close-knitted our Chinese community here is in Arizona, is because when people were coming over, they were helped by other Chinese families to start yeah. their grocery store, to come over. Like, people would just send their kids over, and you were, like, adopted in a sense mm-hmm. by that family. And so even, like, my grandfather, he was – we don't really know his full story, but he was like adopted by some family. So we don't know if like you're really my cousin or if he, you know, it's like, okay, we just say we're cousins. But yeah, it's just such a large Chinese community of people who gather.
I start thinking about culture, and you said it, like I think about Texas culture.
Mm-hmm.
I think about Chinese culture.
Yeah.
I mean, they seem about pretty opposite. So what does like how did the like you guys incorporate and by you, I don't want to like into the church, like what's a Chinese Baptist church look like? Is do you have your own kind of traditions within that? I mean, you guys are starting from scratch, right? They were brand new Christians, right? And
yeah. So they hired the Stanleys, they had a couple of people from the Southern Baptists that they had a pastor over there, and then they also hired a pastor named Pastor Simon Choi. And so he pastored First Chinese, I think, for like 30 or 40 years. His wife is still alive. He passed away, I think, a few years ago. But he was very instrumental in my husband, Steve's, in his walk with the Lord and his dedication to him and going into ministry. And so, we do Chinese New Year's. That's probably the biggest holiday we do, but a lot of Chinese tradition is based on like superstition and luck and good spirits, evil spirits, and so we don't do any
that's
of
not,
that stuff. Yeah,
yeah, that's,
yeah. Yeah. Some people still, you know, believe in that stuff even as Christians, but for the most part, I think we take the Bible very seriously and follow the biblical principles instead of what maybe our background or our traditions that our grandparents taught us.
When is the Chinese New Year, Mrs. Yu?
So the Chinese New Year's is different every year, depending on they go by the lunar calendar.
Oh, it's like
so
Easter.
It's either, yeah, so it's either late January or early February.
Okay.
Is when we celebrate Chinese New Year's. And then,
and is it, I don't want to sound stupid, but I mean, you stay up till midnight? And
no.
Like,
okay. It's actually, so in China, it's almost like our Christmas.
It's a season.
Yeah, they get 2 weeks off. It's like a week-long celebration, and they have different traditions of like cutting your hair, cleaning your house, doing all that stuff before New Year's, and not using knives on that day or whatever because it's bad luck that you'd cut your, you know. There's just a lot of different things. I just read in stories and taught when I was a teacher, I would teach them these things. But like here, we don't believe in those things. But I would just tell them that's what they believe, you know.
Okay.
So
great.
It is. It's
just what a legacy, though. My mind is still stuck on the Stanleys and to be obedient. And like we talked about the Venus podcast, but that what you do matters.
Yeah.
Yes.
What you do, how you, I mean, there's going to be people like the Stanleys that have this really massive, but I mean, you could find one person and make a difference in their life. That matters.
And you never know the ripples in the pond.
Yeah.
Is a product of that little pebble, how broad and how far they go.
Right.
It's amazing.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're very thankful for them.
Well, Debbie, thank you. Thank you for sharing your story today. Thank you for just maybe a kind of a special twist on Matthew 28 today.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, because they went to this country. And that's another great lesson.
Isn't that
interesting? Missions available in the States. And it's so great.
Love it. Well, folks, thank you. Thank you for tuning in today to the culmination of the Red Letter Challenge.
Yes.
It's been awesome. A great 3-month journey. Appreciate all those folks that followed along with us as we made the journey together.
Yes.
So thank you very much.
Yep.
Take care.
Thanks for listening.
Northwest Christian School has made Biblical Worldview online courses available to all high school students for transcript credit, regardless of whether they attend public school, private school, charter school, or homeschool. Frameworks is an exciting new initiative utilizing the learning management system of Grand Canyon University. For more information, visit BibleClassesForPublicSchools.com.